During May to August, over 100,000 giant cuttlefish gather in the Upper Spencer Gulf in South Australia to breed and lay eggs at the end of their lifespan. This globally unique phenomenon is the only mass breeding aggregation of giant Australian cuttlefish on Earth, celebrated locally and generating millions into the local economy. But this year, barely any have shown, with scientists and dive operators saying only dozens of the cuttlefish have arrived on the coast. In response, the state government has placed a 90-day ban on boat tours and recreation water-based activities, such as swimming and diving in the cuttlefish sanctuary zone off waters near Whyalla. The Wire's Taylor Viskich spoke with Whyalla dive shop owner Manny Katz to hear more on the feeling in the community.
There's been a couple dozen cuttlefish that have arrived to the coastline, but they're not necessarily exhibiting the typical aggregation behaviors. Normally what happens during the season is they are all over the place and they're freely swimming around, doing their thing, seeking out partners. But this year, the ones that we have here, they've all been hiding under rocks. They're extremely skittish. And one of the reasons is that there is predation in the area. The cuttlefish get eaten by things like dolphins and fur seals and snapper. When we talk about the reasons why the cuttlefish haven't rocked up, we're looking at things like water temperature. We're looking at things like the snapper stocks and fisheries management. But then the third one is the harmful algal bloom. And it's probably the most likely cause for a timeline point of view, right? The cuttlefish, like last year, they came here. They were here until about mid-August. So once the eggs hatch, once the cuttlefish hatch, they swim off. And where they go exactly, we do not 100% know. We have general ideas of where they go to around the Gulf, but they've never been tracked once they hatch. They're really, really small. They're like, you know, smaller than the size of a grape. So when they hatch, as far as where they went to, we can ask the question, did they swim off into algal bloom impacted waters? There's a pretty good chance that they did.
What sort of financial impact do you think this will have on your business, but I guess also the wider community?
We probably lost on anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000 worth of bookings. That's just our business. Now, this year, our projected sales, I should say, would have been 20-25% higher than last year. So if our numbers were representative of the town, there's a good chance that Whyalla just lost out on like $35-40 million.
As an environmentalist or, you know, an avid diver yourself, how are you feeling about the situation?
The fact that the cuttlefish are not rocking up this year, in my mind, that is an environmental crisis. This is something that's been happening for, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years. To see it go away in our lifetime is just, it's just so sad. It's awful. I mean, it's catastrophic. It's apocalyptic. And any number of hyperbole. The thing that like still keeps me going though is like, as a marine ecologist, I get to do work every day that hopefully contributes to conserving ecosystems and trying to preserve and restore habitats. Seeing this, I guess, it gives me motivation to keep going, because yeah, we've got a heap of work to do. And tourism is an amazing mechanism for sharing educational wildlife experiences with people. It hurts that we can't share this with people. The other thing that hurts about this is that the money that we would make from doing these types of tours goes back into supporting educational programs. I've got four amazing divers crew that have been with us for the past month and a half or so. And I mean, it's incredibly disappointing for them. With us canceling the season, we've essentially had to lay off all of our crew. I live with all of the crew. Like, where I'm in the house with everyone right now. So we're all incredibly close. They're like family to me, right? They're all looking for jobs at the moment. But at the same time, the state government's ban, the recreational activity ban at the cuttlefish coastline, you know, ultimately, I think that's a good thing. We don't want to interfere with any breeding behavior. We don't want to give away their positions to predators, right? The only way you can see the cuttlefish there at the moment is by shining a light under rocks, and we don't need fish following us. And the other thing too is, for people who are going off on their own without us, without any guidance or supervision, we can't control what those people do. And so imagine, you know, grabbing, like placing your hand on the underside of a rock to pull yourself deeper, and you end up knocking off eggs. You know, we're supportive of the ban. It's unfortunate, but it's probably what's for the best.
Great Southern Reef Foundation Creative Director Stefan Andrews agrees there are benefits to widespread awareness of cuttlefish protection. However, he says despite the ban, the harmful algal bloom has already significantly impacted both cuttlefish and cephalopod populations.
I think we need to be realistic here that there's just so few present that this intervention isn't going to save the cuttlefish. This is only something that's a precautionary measure that's been put in place to show that something's being done in a situation where very little actually can be done. We've seen such widespread mortality of cephalopods, and the reality of the situation is they've faced the most challenging year ever since being born a year ago. It's just a miracle that even some of them have even made it back there at all. So I think debating whether or not this intervention is useful isn't really the best discussion at the moment. I think the best is trying to figure out answering big questions like, have there been any eggs laid? If so, how can we give them their best chance of survival? One of the big things that we really need to concentrate on moving forward is just more understanding about the impacts in the first place. So we can't really be accurately gauging the recovery of a system like until we know how much the system's been impacted. And we've got to look at not just individual species, but especially the habitats too, the kelp forests, the rocky reefs, all of the invertebrates that live in and underneath it. There is a really strong diving community throughout South Australia, and I think it would be really smart to tap into a lot of those recreational and scientific divers that are in the water regularly into a system that citizen scientists can help document the underwater changes, and that's going to feed into a better understanding of what's going on underwater so we can target some additional responses where needed and better learn from what's happened here.
Great Southern Reef Foundation Creative Director Stefan Andrews speaking with The Wire's Taylor Viskitch.